Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The firm of Harris and Meringue. Not ambulance chasing, but plenty of rides in one.
From the hips down, man, it's a disaster.
The firm. Patrick Harris.
And someone crashed their car on the I-5 bridge.
Danny Meringue.
I've had some bad runs.
On the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
All right, hour number deuce. Missed any of the first hour, you can check that, the fan podcast, 1051thefan.com.
If you pay extra for the only Dans, you can get the in-commercial discussion about baseball.
I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't know if we should let people in on it.
Well, it's all catered. It's built. You know, it's bespoke. We don't release it all.
I don't want to do show prep for what we talk about between breaks.
Oh, God.
So if you missed any of the first hour, you can catch that wherever you get your podcast, the Odyssey app, YouTube. If you miss Tyson, he's always with us on Wednesday. You can go back and check that out as well. If you missed any of the boys this morning, you can check that out as well. Hell, if you missed the club yesterday, you can check that out on YouTube, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. A lot to get to this hour. We will take a peek at Blazers preseason tonight. I'm going to have to ask Danny how to watch Blazers preseason, because I'll be honest, I don't know if I've ever watched an NBA basketball preseason game in my life.
Oh, God, I've watched so many.
So I'm going to need to know. I'm going to need to know what that's like. We'll have web gems as well, plus the perception of one of the greatest players to be currently playing. But we'll start in the NFL here. And I wanted to ask this question because, you know, we're real high on him coming into the season, and I'm still real high on him right now, but the team is kind of falling apart. So is it too early, or is it time to kind of honestly write off Justin Herbert a little bit? Not at any fault of his own, but because that team is so injury banged up on the offensive line. You know, we were laughing yesterday about the no, don't do it. Mm-hmm. When then he got lit.
Damn it.
You know, like, like is this the future of him this season? I don't think I'm not saying the future of his career by any means.
No.
Because I love me some Justin Herbert.
I did think it was funny. I listened to the boys this morning and they started talking about Herbert, and Sprague goes, "What's the excuse for him this time, Dirt?" And,
well, I might be a Herbert apologist. I think me asking the question makes me a Herbert apologist.
I think there's a sprinkling of that out there, for sure. He does get some passes. I am not one of those guys who, like, I came the other way around because I was more down on him coming out. My opinion of him has risen.
Mm-hmm.
So I am not the apologist. I am more of the, no, this guy's good, guys. Like,
he's very good.
We need to stop doing the, well, but there is some of it that's in there. He has been hit more than Andrew Luck in his first, 5 years in the league. Like,
that's not a good stat.
That's an insane
if
number.
That's like, true, that's not a good stat.
When you're
stat.
Up there with Andrew Luck and Carr.
David Carr.
You're like, oh boy, that's not good. I don't think you write him off per se, but the Chargers are charging again, and it's kind of become like the 49ers where the inevitability of injuries is a very real thing.
I thought Jim Harbaugh was supposed to be the guy to bump this.
It might just be the Spanos family. Like, they just might have to sell. Like, because
voodoo dolls on the offensive line.
They
moved the Etsy witch.
Yeah, yeah, is it the Etsy witch?
They moved the team, so they got him off the burial ground in San Diego. But, like, you know what is going on with that? Because Herbert is a great quarterback. Like,
it's fantastic.
We were talking about, like, could this be an MVP season, like, through the first couple weeks?
And he played like it the first couple weeks.
And then, you know, the injuries.
All of a sudden, I'm like, Chargers in the Super Bowl. It's Chargers-Packers right now.
And it was like, and all of a sudden, the injuries and the offensive line we know is beat up. You know, Slater's gone for the season. Najee Harris is gone for the season. Now, Amarian Hampton's out for a month, and it's like, here we go again. And it's just, It sucks, man. Like, even though that team's been in my division for as long as I can remember, damn near, I've never hated the Chargers. Like,
I used to be a Charger fan.
Yeah, look, you talked about
in
it.
In 98, they drafted Ryan Leaf, quarterback, Washington State University. I was like, that's my team.
But, I mean, like, Rivers and LT and Antonio Gates and Lights Out, like, Lorenzo Neal, like, those were fun teams, man. Shoddy out there getting screwed over in the end by the Spanos family after they won, what, 14 games?
Pissed me off so much.
Good God.
And our answer was North Turner.
Yeah.
Look, Cowboy fans, I know you're pissed about having Brian Callahan, but we were not stoked about North Turner from Marty.
Yeah, after you won.
Because Shoddy was dope.
Yeah, didn't they go 14-2 and 5?
Sorry, not Callahan. It's Schottenheimer in Dallas. Yeah. I said Callahan.
I was thinking Callahan from Callahan Auto. That's what I thought you were going with there. But. Yeah, it's just always something. And yeah, to your point, you thought maybe Harbaugh would be the kind of guy to get that there. And I think the mentality and the attitude of the team is correct, but they just have some bad luck and some bad juju. And I don't fault Herbert. I don't really fault anyone. And that's kind of a weird, that makes you do the shrug emoji. You're just like, because you have changed the coach. You have changed the front office. You have changed the quarterback. You have brought in weapons. You have defensive pieces. Like, your offensive line on paper, when healthy, should be pretty damn good. Like, all of these things. And we saw it for the first couple weeks. And now we're back to chargering. And they've become the NFL version of Clemsoning. And you're just like, here we go again.
Is it similar to Joe Burrow? Are we going to get to a point where Herbert is good, but because of all odds working against him, that it'll just be that? Or has Burrow got more because he went to a Super Bowl?
He's got more and he's been more prolific.
I mean, I think he's better. I think Joe is my guy in the NFL. Yeah. Joe is my guy.
We're both there, but it's a good question. But
because we give him the benefit of the doubt all the time, and he's legitimately hurt missing games all the time.
Yep.
At least Herbert's in there every day.
And I think where Burrow gets that pass, and here maybe I am making an excuse for Burrow, is as bad as the Spanos family is on stuff, they're nowhere near the Brown family.
Yeah, and I think there's just something about Joe because he won the Natty and the cigar, and he's a good-looking, not that Herbert's not cool, because Herbert, I would say the knock on Herbert is not even really a knock. He makes it kind of look easy.
Because his tools are so prolific.
He looks effortless.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you see Mahomes running around making weird plays, when you see Lamar out-athleting everybody, when you see Josh dump-trucking linebackers.
It's striking.
It's striking to where Justin, kind of like Joe, just kind of do it.
Just does
like
stuff.
Griffey kind of just played baseball and was damn good doing it. And I feel Justin's that way a little
too. In comparison, Burrow just looks like a quarterback. And you're just like, yep, that's the right arm motion. That's the right arm slot. The ball comes out his hand pretty. And not that Herbert doesn't have that. Like Griffey has universally the best swing in baseball history. Mm-hmm. If you disagree, you're wrong.
I mean, Craig Counsell's was pretty great.
But we all know who's number one. It was literally his logo was the silhouette of his swing. Because we all know how pure and beautiful it was.
Mm-hmm.
Herbert doesn't look bad. But you mentioned that kind of the effortlessness of everything he does. Like when you watch Lamar load up and flick, it's like, whoa, it explodes out of his hand. Like there's something about, like, because
he's got pizzazz.
And Herbert, it's not that he's like swaggerless. He's far from that. But it's also like, God, I can't believe I'm making this comparison. Nobody likes Russell Wilson, but when he does stuff, it popped. What I mean?
Like, it does. He was exciting. The moon balls.
Everything Herbert does, like to your point, just looks simple. And so I think it kind of falls to the wayside. But that's because he's 6'5", he's 240 pounds, he's big, he's strong, he's mobile, he's athletic. He just has all of the things, but nothing about him pops in this way of like, it's, you know, he's got a bigger arm than insert dude here. Mm-hmm. He's as athletic as even Josh Allen. Or heaven forbid Lamar, like there's not a weakness, but his strengths, there are guys, one or two guys that have more, you know what I mean? And so while he's great at everything, there's one or two guys that have more, one or two, three guys that have more in that thing. And for whatever reason, because you either all or nothing, he falls in that area of not nothing, but not all. And it gets lost and it's very dumb.
503-864-6326 and the YouTube chat. Zach coming in on the YouTube chat. Herbert reminds me of Trout. No flair, just shows up.
Yes.
Spot on.
Yes. That's
And Mike Trout is a first ballot bona fide Hall of Famer.
Like now Trout,
one of the best baseball players I've ever seen in my life.
I would put Trout more in the Joe Burrow mold of, like, his swing is great when he runs the base. I mean, do you remember early Trout when he was stealing bases left, right, and center?
He's the greatest baseball player I ever saw in my life.
That's what I mean. There was something that jumped out. So that's what, like, it's more like Joe. But I think
must watch television.
But I think,
I'm must watching a 500 Angels team.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there was something about him jumped out. But I think that the comparison is pretty apt in the sense of he's just toiling.
Mm-hmm.
He's toiling, and it's different organizational failures where I think the Chargers are legitimately trying, where I don't think Artie Moreno and the Angels ever tried.
Yeah, and to circle back around on that, some other thoughts here. Spanos moving the team is the active curse. The thing with the curse versus are they a contender that makes us have to wait is this is the time of year a contender can afford to have a slump due to injuries. I think that's a fair statement.
They could certainly come back.
That's kind of why I asked the question, like, are we just out on the Chargers at no fault of their own just due to what's going on that offensive line? Or do we need to take a step back and say, whoa, let's hold up? I would love the latter to be the answer. I think this team is super fun to watch. I don't want to see good teams like this. We'll talk about Lamar in the Nooner Hour. I don't want to see teams like this fall apart because of things they can't control, which are injuries.
No.
You know, because Slater was out at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And we were kind of like, this is not good. We were ready to write him off before the season started. Then they played and we're like, whoa, hold up here.
Maybe they found
hold
a way.
Hold up here. This offensive line might not be too bad.
Yeah. It's not going to be perfect because now you're moving Alt over, but like you can, maybe this is okay enough.
But now Alt's out.
Here we go again.
You lose on the road to the Giants. You know, you got communication issue. I know it's only one play.
And
I'm not saying it's deeply rooted.
This is where Harbaugh comes in.
I agree.
This is where
he earns his
money. He grabs the steering wheel and is like, all right, guys, let's go. Drink some milk.
It's true. Last thought, Herbert can do everything Burrow can do. Only difference is y'all still give credit to Burrow for losing the Super Bowl, and that might be true. That might be true. If I had my choice, I would take Burrow over Herbert.
I don't think Herbert can do everything Burrow can do at the level Burrow. If you're asking me whose peak level is higher, it's Burrow's.
I actually think there are some things Herbert can do that Joe can't.
Well, mobility-wise,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
but I'm talking as a quarterback, as throwing the ball, as being that guy. Joe is more prolific.
Boy, I hope in 4 weeks we're like, Chargers are back. I really hope so.
Yeah,
hope so. They're a good team.
I want good players to be great.
They're a good team. Speaking of good players that are great, the playoff perception of Aaron Judge. I've got some stats to throw at you that may kind of justify we're all a little bit tough on the old Judgy in the postseason. That's Danny. I'm Patrick. This is 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot to get to still here in the middle hour of the program. We'll get to Blazers preseason starts tonight. We'll get to that in 15 minutes because I got questions. Yours are welcome at the fan text line 503-864-6326 or the YouTube chat as well. Web gems as well this hour. But I found some interesting stats. I was, you know, doom scrolling while in line to get coffee this morning. And got that coffee FU money, man. Take that, guys. I'm elite. Me and Joe Flacco.
Big coffee money.
Me and Joe Flacco, we're elite. You see Joe starting, by the way? For the
Bengals. Oh, Flacco? Yeah.
I love it. I'm so here for it. But I wanted to bring this up. The perception of Aaron Judge in the postseason is blank.
I said it to you before the show. I think the perception of Aaron Judge is that of pre-Clayton Kershaw getting the monkey off his back with the Dodgers.
Is a failure, an A-Rod of proportions.
He is a all-time regular season performer who does not have a single moment in the postseason that was worth a damn.
Let me tell you something. After last night, Aaron Judge's season stats in 2025, where he will most likely win the MVP, 331 batting average, 457 on-base percentage, a slugging of 688, which gives you an OPS, which is slugging and on-base percentage combined, of 1.145. Pretty darn stupid, huh? Pretty darn stupid. In the postseason this year, Aaron Judge is batting 524 with a 600 on-base percentage, a 762 slugging, 1.362 OPS. I think it's fun to bash on the Yankees. Guilty as charged. But greatness is greatness. And just because you hit 60 home runs frequently, hit 50 every single year, are going to go down as one of the great Yankees of all time. Surefire shot to Cooperstown as he's going on right now. I don't know if the perception of Aaron Judge has been very fair.
Are you sure about that? Because do you want to hear his career postseason stats?
I know his career postseason stats.
No. And this is what we're talking
about. Okay, all right.
This is Clayton Kershaw is of our era is the best regular season pitcher of the modern day era.
One of them, yeah.
Like, he's that guy. But he did not ever have it in the postseason until, 2019? Was that when he got...
It took a long time.
It was 2018 or 2019 that he finally had...
It might be 2020 when they won, COVID year.
I think I think it was the year before that he actually finally didn't blow up. That was the thing, is, like, he just didn't have a start that we were like, oh, sweet Jesus, not again, Clayton. Because this is Aaron Judge's stats... total, which includes this postseason.
Okay.
He is hitting in his career 231, 341 on base percentage.
That's not good.
475 slugging.
That's even worse.
817 OPS.
That's a pretty average baseball player right there.
I mean, that's in 64 games, he has 17 home runs.
Not bad.
Not bad. 40 RBI. Not bad.
Also on Yankee teams that, in my opinion, are not very good.
No, but
I think that's part of it, too.
But again,
I think they're able to pitch around Judge, and he's forcing it because his teams kind
of
suck.
But a lot
of
those,
being honest.
Now, the Dodgers have been in the playoffs, what is it, 15 years straight now?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's 15.
It's going to be another 15.
But there's a lot of those Dodgers teams in the mid-teens that weren't that great. They were good, but they weren't the best teams in baseball, the monster that we have seen for the last, 7 years?
Mm-hmm.
And Kershaw, everything was basically thrown on his back, and he fell short.
Judge did have his signature moment last night.
He did.
He did. He hit it off the foul pole to a huge home run. That place went nuts.
Barely.
He had this quote, which I'm obsessed when he when. Look, like I said, it's easy to hate on the Yankees. Guilty as charged. I love to do it. But one of my favorite baseball legendary historical stories that I love to tell is about Derek Jeter and what he said to Aaron Boone. And Aaron Judge said last night something very similar. He said, "You just never know with the wind if it's going to push it foul or keep curving or not. But I guess a couple ghosts out there in Monument Park helped kind of keep that fair." And that stuff gives me the heebie-jeebies all the time. Like, my hair is standing up right now just reading that out loud.
Your baseball hair?
Oh, God, because I love that stuff. If you're not
romantic.
Have you heard the story about Derek Jeter and Aaron Boone?
Mm-mm.
So when Aaron Boone hits that home run in the 11th inning off Tim Wakefield in the 2003 ALCS to send the Yanks to the World Series, he pinch hits, okay, and Wakefield comes in. Before
and this is prime knuckleballing.
This is
Wakefield. This is peak. That ball dancing.
R.I.P. to the great knuckleballer Tim Wakefield. Aaron Boone is standing in the on deck circle, waiting to take his at bat. He's the first at bat of the 11th inning, pinch hitting, and Derek Jeter walks up to him and says, "Be patient. Wait for it. The ghosts are here. Earn your pinstripes." First pitch, yakety yak. Yankees go to the World Series. First person out of that dugout was Derek Jeter.
But he didn't wait.
Yeah, he did. He waited on the knuckle. That's what he's saying.
But I'm just saying, you know, like he didn't wait in the count.
First pitch, he was like, bye. And that kind of stuff, like,
oh yeah,
that kind of stuff just gets me real, real going. And I'm glad that Aaron Judge had a moment like that last night. It might be a little too late because I do think the Jays will win this series.
Yeah,
whether
if you go 2-0,
it's tonight,
it's,
or
it's 89% of the teams that go up 2-0 in 5-game series win.
Or Friday. I do believe the Jays will move along, but I was happy to see Judge have a moment.
I don't like the Yankees. You don't like the Yankees. Most of us, with
anybody
a soul,
that's not a Yankee fan,
yeah,
doesn't like. Nobody's like, oh, the Yankees. I'm indifferent
but
about
I like,
that.
But I like Judge. I like Stanton. Like,
well, he's got a lot of that quality that we talk about with Mookie or Freddie Freeman or yeah. Shohei and the Dodgers. Look, none of us are rooting for the Dodgers, but it's hard to root against those three guys. Yeah. They're likable baseball players.
They're great dudes. You're just like,
it's easy to hate. It's easy to hate Bryce Harper
or Tatis
or Fernando Tatis Jr. It's easy.
There's plenty of heels and villains in baseball, but there's also some good guys. Mike Trout is a good guy.
Judge's a good guy.
Judge is a good guy. Cal Raleigh's a good guy. Mm-hmm. Shohei's a good guy. Like
Julio.
Julio's a, like it's easy.
Ronald Acuña Jr.
Yeah, there's plenty of good guys to root for, regardless of the team, regardless of the situation. I don't hate Judge. I would give the MVP to Raleigh, but that's neither here nor there. Judge had underperformed. Period.
Yeah.
He has underperformed in the playoffs, and he finally had a moment. And I don't want to take that away from him. But I just read out his career in the postseason. It's not good.
Yeah, coming in on the YouTube chat, when Judge took the money, he accepted the expectations of being the best player on the greatest franchise in sports. Anything but being amazing is not acceptable, fair or not. That's
and I'd argue
that resonates.
I'd argue he hasn't even been good.
No, let alone great.
Yeah.
I mean, last night was a good moment.
But that's the thing is, like, is this the one-off? Like, Stanton last year.
Mm-hmm.
Stanton was incredible mm-hmm. for the Yankees. Is Judge going to be capable of putting at least that kind of run together?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's also tough, too, because Game 5 of the World Series last year, when Judge dropped that fly ball, that looks bad, too. You know,
that's the other part of this.
You got a bad moment. There aren't many great Yankees that have a bad moment.
No, and
you might have missed, you know, struck out in a bad time or something like that, but that was a bad moment.
Didn't he also have an 0-for-5 game with 3 Ks in that series?
Potentially, yeah. I know Game 5 was an epic meltdown.
But that's what I mean. Like, and so, one great moment does not a player make if you're talking about an all-time great. It makes a great story for a guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, sure, Reggie Jackson having that moment, that's a moment. That's a you know what moment. I mean? Like, but, you know, you bring up Boone. Boone's not an all-time great.
Nope, but he's got a moment.
But he's got a moment.
So like, does Bucky Dent.
But that's what I mean. Are you him or are you... like Himothy.
That's why they both have the F middle initial, correct?
Yep. Aaron flipping Boone and yeah. Bucky flipping Dent. And
yeah.
And we ain't flipping burgers here, my friends.
Right? And like, are we there with Aaron Judge? And I'd say pretty easily in the postseason, it's no.
It's so funny that Yankee fans are harder on Aaron Judge in the playoffs than us non-Yankee fans. I'm like, give the guy a break. He's great. Leave him alone.
He is, but the postseason stuff, it's just been meh.
The kid's on the bump tonight for the Yankees, Cam Schlittler against Louis Varland. I don't have a scouting report on Louis Varland. I thought he was still in Minnesota. I forgot that he was in Toronto, but the Schlittler's on the mound tonight.
From the text line, Judge is Harden-esque.
I know, I saw that.
That's pretty spot on. One of the most prolific regular season guys we've ever seen that in some of the biggest moments that have been called upon him has disappeared.
I know. It might be apropos. It might be correct, but I can't handle that because I hate James Harden.
I know.
And I don't hate Aaron Judge.
No, I'm there with you.
That's
but
some
like,
mean juju to throw on that guy.
But I mean, you want to talk about the best regular season performer of all time that has the biggest disappearing instances in the history
beard.
Of sports?
It's
James Harden, and it's number one with a bullet.
Yeah.
I mean, 14 turnovers, a huge part of 0 for 27 from three.
Like A-Rod thinks James Harden sucks in the playoffs.
Yes. and he's right. James Harden is the biggest superstar playoff choker in the history of sports.
Yeah.
And now, I wouldn't put Judge on that Mount Rushmore.
No.
But his name's in the hat.
Yeah. Also, if you haven't seen Vladimir Guerrero slide into home last night,
Holy.
Go check that out. That's a big boy flying like Superman. So if you haven't seen that, go check it out. All right, when we come back, it's what everybody's been waiting for today. Blazer preseason tonight. I got to know, how in the hell am I going to watch this game? Like, not how I'm going to go get an antenna, I know that stuff. But, like, what am I looking for? How am I, you know, where's effort? How's rotation look? All that stuff. So we'll answer those questions and any of yours, 503-864-6326. But before we do that, we'll toss it to the Kahuna with sports.
You ever had a big Kahuna burger?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, I'm getting a good laugh from Jordan on the text line. Anytime somebody makes fun of James Harden, I'm totally in.
Yeah, I mean, he's on the list of guys that's not likable.
Yeah, I don't know if there's many NBA guys that I've ever watched in my life that I've hated more than him. Karl Malone's up there pretty high. I always hated him.
But it's not because James Harden's
which
like...
Which is tough because I love Stockton.
Well, I mean, Harden's not a quote-unquote bad
not
dude.
Not a bad dude.
Like, nothing criminal. Like, it's just... You know, fat suit James Harden and then
he seems kind of like a douche, too.
I mean, if you've ever read any of like the profile pieces that were done on him earlier in his career, those have stopped happening because every time you read them, you're like, oh.
Oh, I watched him with my eyeballs at Arizona State because I saw him play the Cougs a bunch in college basketball.
There's a reason he was number 3 overall pick.
Oh, I know. I watched it and I was like, oh. Because the whole time I was like, why is this guy at Arizona State? This weird guy with a clean-shaven face is supposed to be the future of the NBA. Why?
And crazy teeth. Do you remember James Harden before he had his teeth fixed?
And then I saw him live. Then I saw him live and was like, oh, hello.
Artesia High Zone.
Yeah, that's how I felt about the Lopez Towers, too.
Well,
like, oh,
yeah,
you
those
guys are good.
Those guys were different at
Taj
Stanford.
Gibson. Ooh, hey. That guy was good.
Yeah. Pac-12 basketball. Pretty good.
I want to get into this Blazers preseason tonight as they will take on the Golden State Warriors in a preseason situation. Now, I'm excited for Blazers season this year. I think there's a ton of storylines to go into, and obviously you and me together doing the show will address all of them as they progress and come around and see how they pay off, et cetera. And we'll have more Blazer preview once preseason's over. You know, we'll spend a good day of deep diving into the Blazers. But I'm curious, Danny, from your perspective, but also from me as, you know, let's lump me into the casual Blazer fan, okay? I'm the casual Blazer fan on this station. I know a lot of you out there are pretty hardcores, but let's keep it kind of easy. What is it that I watch? What is it that I should be looking for during preseason versus what you are looking for as someone who covers the team?
So for me specifically...
Not to be interviewee, but
I mean. So for me tonight, when I get home from the concert and I load up the film... I am going to be watching almost exclusively what offensive sets they bring out.
Okay.
Like, watching the FanFest game this weekend, they got into their stuff at minimum at 18 seconds. It was...
Go.
I mean, it was fast. And it wasn't just getting into it. They would push in transition. If it wasn't there, they're immediately into an action. And I'm watching both corners. Are guys stationary? Are they stagnant? Where are they moving?
Are we moving?
Who's moving where? Who's going where? Who's screening on ball? Who's screening away?
Dude, if I see anybody Carl Anthony Townsend out there on that line, I'm going to lose my GD mind.
What do you mean?
Standing around.
Well, I mean, you do have to have some stagnancy for spacing purposes, but just how random is it? And that's some of the stuff that you're going to have to, like, if you're going to go, like, top-level fan, right? You're going to see some stuff where it looks clunky on offense.
Okay.
Because you need to build the relationship of how, when, and where. Like, okay, yes, you're going to make this quote-unquote random cut. There's more randomness to it. But is the ball handler going to see it? Is the guy screening going to get you on the right angle? Is the timing of it going to be just right? And so, like, those are all things that take some time. Individually, one of the things I'm gonna be watching that was stood out to me, and I tweeted about it during FanFest. Shaden and Young seem to have pretty good timing already in the two-man game. And not just in pick and rolls, it's off DHOs, it's off pin downs, it's off ball screens. There's stuff there where Hansen seems to understand how to free Shaden up already, either on the ball with a direct like DHO or screening away as a ball handler and working some get actions and getting Shaden the ball back in space and Shaden being comfortable walking into a three, which I think is going to be one of the big storylines this year. Look for what looks comfortable. The uncomfortable stuff is going to show up and it's going to be very noticeable because you're going to go, oh, that looked clunky. Look for what looks comfortable because there's going to be so much new in this. Chauncey Billups is back as head coach, but two of your new lead assistants are Tiago Splitter and Patrick St. Andrews, Saint. What they implement and how they implement it. Nate Bjorkgren is going to be running the defense, and Tiago and Saint are going to be running offense and some of the defense as well, like some of the principles and everything that kind of goes in there. Finding out where those roles and responsibilities lie. And the other one, the top level thing, is Chauncey Billups is going to rotate starters throughout the preseason. So
for all I heard that.
So all the people out there like, Shaden has to start.
No.
What I'm saying here is he's going to have his opportunity. If he goes out there and it's very evident that he is showing more, you could see the Blazers be like, because here's the thing.
I don't know if Chauncey knows the starting lineup.
I have a reeling suspicion he has a pretty strong.
I think he has a good idea.
Strong idea which way he's going to go.
But I don't know if it's set in stone.
We aren't pulling the sword out of the stone here. Like, it's not that. But
it should be straightforward. I agree.
I'm pretty sure.
Yan Bong at the two.
Yeah, definitely not.
Donovan Klingon at the one.
Yeah. You know what? ESPN had Denny at the two in their player rankings.
But
and
you've
like,
been saying that. No, you've been saying two.
Two is the
Tumani.
Two.
We got to start saying Tumani.
Yeah. Two is at the
it
two.
It throws me off when you say two.
No. For my money right now, Drew at the one, two at the two, Denny at the three, JG at the four, Donovan at the five is going to be your opening night starting lineup. I don't think that's going to change.
Kling Kong, that's my guy.
But let's see if Shaden goes out there. Because Here's the thing. You can't tell Jeremy Grant or anybody else that we're going to carve this spot out for you, this guy who's not as good as you. I don't care where you are in your career.
Yeah.
You don't see, everybody's like, good teams do that. No, they don't. They don't. Because you don't tell a guy who's an Olympic gold medalist, who's making $30 million a year, that, sorry, dog, that's not how the politics of this work. And you can scream it until you're blue in the face. No coach in the league is doing that. Yeah. Nobody.
Shaden's our biggest angle here, isn't he, of this season?
Well, no. Hansen. Hansen's
really? But it's his first year. We're not expecting that
but,
much.
But no, it's the what is he? That's the thing.
I think the biggest question, though, is Shaden Sharpe. Oh, yeah. That's what I hear most people ask, most people talking about.
So two questions that we got on the text line I wanted to say for this right here. One of them was, what does Shaden need to do to justify getting like a real contract? And we talked about this a little bit yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's two things. One, the three-point shooting.
It's got to be better.
I agree with that. I think that's secondary. He doesn't need to be Steph Curry, but he does need to be 36% plus or better, like on volume. That has to be a thing if he's going to be a guy. The most important thing to me is Shaden as a playmaker. And I'm not necessarily talking assists. I'm talking about his ability to read and react and make the right plays. Having a plan in every possession and attacking it and adjusting it, you have your decision tree matrix. Mm-hmm. If A, then B. If B, then C. If C, then D. Like that, when you're going to year four, that's how your brain should be going. And it's not, you know, figuring it out on the fly. It's knowing if they do this, I'm going to do this. And if they look to take this and this away, then I go to this. That's a great player in the NBA.
I'm not saying that, you know, getting back to this Yang Hansen thing, I live in a world where I loved the David Robinson, Tim Duncan situation.
Sure.
Of two basically centers, one plays power forward, one plays center. And I'm not saying these guys are that, but is there a situation where we will see Yang at the five and Donovan at the four?
I hope to God not.
Is Donovan not there enough for the four?
Neither of those guys. Yeah. Now, you may see...
Because that would be ideal world. Because look, JG's not long for this world.
I don't think he's that. I know,
I don't mean it in a negative way. I just, whether he gets traded or becomes a free agent.
Well, he's not going to become a free agent for another couple of years. Like,
I know. But these guys are going to be here longer than that.
Well, you hope.
I assume.
Like, the thing is,
we're
like,
assuming.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, now, is there going to be a lineup that goes two bigs, like two traditional bigs? Maybe, because the West has gotten so big. You might see it. But talking to the coaching staff over the last couple months, I've gotten a lot of looks. And I've said, like, bluntly, I'm like, I don't want to see it. Like, if you're getting
Daniel, do we need to reject your media credentials here?
I have no interest in seeing that. I just think that what that does for you both offensively and defensively is very, very, very clunky.
All right, well, be fun to watch the game tonight. I will go out and get an antenna. I might have one in the garage. Might have an old one.
I will say there was another question here. I know we're up against.
Oh yeah, go.
Somebody said, I don't think I've had a Blazer season that I've been more meh about. And that is such an insane thing to me. That is not me being a homer. That is me covering. Well, it actually is me covering the team.
I disagree with that statement as well.
I think
there's a lot. Last year was my meh.
Last year was meh. The year before that was meh. Hyken and I, Casey.
Well,
Oldall,
the year before that is Scoot, and you're kind of like, oh, what's this guy?
But I mean, like, but that was it. It was just the young guys.
Yeah.
Now you've got the young guys. You've got Drew Holiday. Does Tua have another gear? Does Denny have another gear?
Is Chauncey the guy for the job?
What do the new assistant coaches do? What is Hansen? Does Donovan look like he's actually like a all-defense caliber rim protector?
Does Jeremy Grant get traded?
Or does Jeremy look like the guy that he was a couple years ago? Like, there's so many storylines. The meh of this season, like, and I don't even have to talk myself into it. Like, all the guys that are there that, you know, like me, Casey, and Sean, that we're there every single night and we're covering this, we have all said the same thing of like, dude, this is actually going to be a fun year. Like, there are so many things this year to talk about. There's so many threads to pull. And if you're not looking at that, you're just not a basketball guy.
Well, as Brian Kelly would say,
I hope you all had a shitty day.
Enjoy the game tonight. We'll report back tomorrow from what we see and keep you guys all caught up on that. Coming up next, Web Gems, $50 million. $50 million. It's got to go somewhere, doesn't it? 105.1 The Fan.
Sometimes it's good.
Aw, I've interrupted happy time.
Sometimes it's bad.
Ow, son of a...
It's Web Gems.
What'd you do?
The firm of Harris and Marang on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is everybody's favorite Web Gems. Do it every single day at 11:45. Coming up in the big nooner, get back into some Ducks Indiana chatter, which had a little Dante Moore. The free fall from Lamar Jackson to Cooper Rush. We'll have to get to that as well. And maybe we'll close out with a little SEC chatter. But the story for Web Gems is brought to you by the Stanford University football program, as they received a $50 million gift from a former football player, Bradford Freeman, of Freeman Spogli. They own a lot of business adventures, things like Popeyes and Cinnabon and Advanced Auto Parts. He gave $50 million to the school. And what's interesting about this is Stanford is in a very, very interesting spot. I think schools like Stanford, Cal, Notre Dame, the teams that have always struggled in college football due to their own institutional standards, whether you want to cry wolf for them or not, Stanford has kind of taken a pretty big back seat of late. Once an NIL came in and people were getting paid to do stuff, it felt like Stanford was in a spot where they could easily be left behind. Enter Andrew Luck. Enter Frank Wright. I know he's the intern, but enter him. Building some stability into the program. Though paging Oregon State, those are the kind of things you do to instill faith in your program. Because now you got guys like this Freeman guy. $50 million is huge in college football.
Well,
it might not be a lot of money for this guy. I don't know what he's worth, but looking at their portfolio, like, they're worth a lot of money.
Well, Stanford has the single biggest endowment in the country. If they want to tap into it, I think it's $34 or $36 billion.
Right, but they keep it for their academia,
yes,
because that's more important.
And
I don't fault them for that.
No. But I'm saying if they want to, they can. They have more money than anybody in the country, and it's not close if they want to do it. But I think the important thing about this donation is it is not tabbed for anything other than football.
And that's huge.
And not buildings, not institutional things. It is for football and players. It is not about anything else. It is a direct infusion of cash into the program.
And I think a lot of that has to do with a man named Andrew Luck.
It is 100% everything to do with Andrew Luck.
And if you're looking around, if you're a program that is faltering,
Oregon State, paging Oregon State,
like this guy might not have NVIDIA type money, but he's got enough money to give you $50 million. And why? It's because there's somebody there who looks like they're in charge. And that's Andrew Luck. And down south in Corvallis, When you're saying guys ain't going to remember who you are, bro, I don't even know who you are. What are you talking about?
For anybody who didn't catch this, Blaylock, who is the assistant AD at Oregon State.
I still don't even know who he is.
Reportedly told Steve Johnson, who was meeting on behalf of him and Gary Payton, about infusing money directly into the basketball program the exact same way where it was going to go to the players. And I'm paraphrasing what Blaylock said here, is that it's more about the name on the front than the name on the back, and nobody's going to remember Gary Payton in 10 or 15 years. And I'm just like, that is arguably the most important athlete in the history of your institution.
Yeah, it's him, Steven Jackson, maybe? D.A., Derek Anderson?
Terrell Brandon? Like,
Terry Baker?
You had to...
Heisman.
Steven Jackson?
I said Steven Jackson.
I'm sorry, yeah. the Rodgers brothers? Yeah. Like, I heard the guys this morning, like, why aren't the Rodgers brothers down there running things? You know what I mean? Like, where are they at in all this? Where's Steven Jackson? Where's Hoosh? Where's Chad Johnson? Like, where are the guys? Like, I heard Brandon say, I could do a better job as an AD. And honestly, I could actually give that thought.
Well, yeah.
Because somebody who would give a damn and be like, guys, look, I know. We're sorry. Let's open up the doors. Let's bring back the flock. Let's make sure we're bringing our alumni in. Let's make sure that we go get and I'm not just saying you have to stay in house, but you bring the stuff and the people back who matter to the institution. That's what Stanford did. Stanford was in the dark ages.
Dude, I told you, I say it every single week. I watched Stanford play Hawaii. I will never get that time back. It was some god-awful football. They are not good.
But
they are not good this
year.
If
I told you that they were getting their stuff together, would you believe it?
Yes. And even before I heard this $50 million mm-hmm. gift to the athletic department, it's
perception.
It's 100%.
It's perception. And that's why Oregon State's number one recruit, their four-star quarterback, said, deuces, I'm out. 24 hours after Trent Bray was asked about his recruiting class and being worried about it, we got everybody under lock. 24 hours later, your number one recruit said deuces.
To Fresno State. That's conference rival, man.
I mean, but brother.
You were getting killed because Terrell Brandon went to Oregon. Just an FYI.
Oh, did I say Terrell Brandon? Oh, you just said Derek Anderson. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Just an FYI.
Yeah, no, I'm an idiot.
You were moving, so I didn't say
anything. No, I said Terrell Brandon because he played here. I don't know why. I always go Oregon high school players and Oregon State blend together for me.
Interesting.
For whatever reason, I don't know why, despite the bigger name guys, with the exception of Kevin Love, going to Oregon.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is, and I think what makes it so tough in comparison to this and Oregon State is Stanford's in a tough spot. The ACC move they did out of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody was stoked about going to the ACC when you're, you know, in all the logistical issues that go in with the ACC.
You're flying from Hawaii to freaking Virginia. Like, I mean, you're all over the map.
And people, you know, and there are some people that are trying to will Cal and Stanford to the Pac-12, and I would welcome them with open arms back into the conference, that a team with their own issues, you know, your academic standards are super high. That's going to make it tough, okay? Also, in an NIL world, you have a university, as someone points out, they're number four in terms of the money they've got of universities in the nation, their endowment, that you have all these obstacles that you have to overcome. Stanford would be one of my first candidates to say, this is not going to go well. And in two years, they look to be turning it around. Will it work? I don't know that answer. I don't know if it will work. But it's better than what's going on down south.
Yeah, just
and
so
they're showing
clear,
you that it's not very difficult.
When we're talking about endowments, I'm talking about non-Ivy League in the sense of teams that play sports.
Oh, so then Texas and then...
No. The Texas one is the entire state.
Oh,
is the University of Texas system.
Oh, all the Texas system. Got
so
it.
All of the UT schools.
I got you now.
So number one is Harvard. Number two is the University of Texas system. Number three is Yale. Number four is Stanford.
Gotcha.
Harvard and Yale are not sports entities at this level.
I've seen some basketball teams. Harvard and Yale are not anywhere close to this.
But Stanford has more money than God, and actually it's lower than I said it was. At the end of the fiscal year in 24 is $37.6 billion, not 36. So, yeah, you have to get down. The next, like, real school on this is A&M at 20.3.
The good news about this $50 million, too, because Stanford's got so much dollars, you know it's all going to football. There will be none of it. None of it wishy-washing around.
Well, not only that, it is earmarked directly. Yeah. Like in the press release, it is earmarked directly for football.
I'm going to hang out with this guy.
Yeah, a guy can just cut a $50 million check. That'd be pretty dope.
I'd like to be friends with you.
Right?
All right, when we come back, we'll get into the big nooner. We'll chat a little Dante Moore. You know, does the train run with Dante Moore? It does for me. Loaded third hour. Don't go anywhere. 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.